Good morning, church. How are y'all today? Good to see all your smiling faces already this morning. And it's a strange cool breeze came in over the weekend, but glad to see you guys made it. Today, I don't know if you've realized, is Palm Sunday. It's hitting us super early this year. Next week is Easter. And this is quite frankly the most important thing that ever happened in history. And something that we celebrate every year that we should never, ever, ever make light of. I mean, this is huge, huge news. And so I just want to remind each and every one of you this morning to think about what Palm Sunday was about. That's what we're celebrating today. What is that whole event that took place over 2,000 years, well, nearly 2,000 years ago? And it's this triumphal entry that Jesus makes. And it's that moment where he comes in not on a stallion or some kind of great, like, horse. No, it's a donkey he comes in on. But they call it a triumphal entry, man. They got palm branches waving and people are cheering as he comes in. But the whole time, what does Jesus know is coming a week from then? The whole time, he's fully aware that he is about to face the most challenging thing that will ever face mankind in all of history. He's about to face just a torment and a torturous death. But more than that, he's about to face the sin of the world. And so let's not forget, as we enter this week and as Good Friday is coming up this coming Friday, let's not forget what this week looked like for him, where he comes into town like some kind of king, but only a king to die for us. And he comes in fully aware of that and still does so with great courage and boldness. And so let's just remind ourselves all week long. Let that be fresh on your mind. Let that be fresh on your lips, that this is what this season is about. Let's not lose it among Easter eggs and Cadbury cream things and strange bunnies. Let's not miss the boat, all right, that this Jesus did something fantastic for us. And I just, you know, I can't get over it. And I don't think as a believer we ever get over this, that Christ came and died for us, and that we don't have to face that ever. It's fantastic news. Palm Sunday, you guys, what a great day to be in church together, to celebrate what Christ is doing in our lives and what he has done and what we celebrate this week to come. We're going to continue. We're actually concluding this week our series on gospel-centered living. And the whole premise behind this little series has been what it looks like to just let the gospel be central to everything you do, everything you say, the way you work. Just let it be centered right where it's supposed to be in your life. And that this will give you hope and joy and purpose like maybe you've never experienced. And this is probably the coolest message that we're going to talk about this Sunday, is this idea of inviting others into the community that we experience. And so hopefully you're already experiencing this gospel kind of community here with our body, but hopefully you're experiencing it in small groups. Maybe you're experiencing it by just having your brothers and sisters over for a meal. Hopefully you are experiencing gospel community, and this message is going to be all about in bringing more people into that community. And so it's really cool. Bring up the slide that we've been kind of referring to. So I want you to not forget what I may have said early on, is that these things don't happen like in some kind of order. Just like in the way you braid hair, it doesn't really matter which strand you grab first, it just matters that you weave it all together. And so maybe for some of you, you're in that building relationships phase of, you know, I've got this coworker, I've got this friend at school, I've got this person on a sports team, I've got, you know, fill in the blank there. And step one for you is to just build that relationship to a point where you can start introducing some of these other gospel concepts. But maybe you're past that. You've already built the relationship. Maybe you've even already shared the good news of Christ to this person. And the next step for you is weaving in a gospel community for them. I would say we put this one last in the order, but really building relationships and then bringing them into community might be the kind of the order of things. Maybe the sharing of that good news is one of the final things you do in a relationship. And so I think one of the most attractional things about Christianity is how we treat each other. It should be, okay? Now, I know some of you have experienced some bad church things. Maybe you've experienced some so-called believers, or maybe they really were believers, but they hurt you somehow. Maybe you've experienced that, and it can happen, okay? Because, well, quite frankly, churches are filled with broken people, and I'm broken too. But the way it should look, the way Christ has called us, is to love one another, and that the world will know us by the love we have for each other. And so this step of bringing friends and family into community, the community of Christ, should be a moment for them where they go, y'all are weird, you know? Weird in a good way, though. Y'all are actually, like, nice to each other. That's something you don't see every day. Anybody working anywhere knows that the best thing you can do is probably pick on each other, or, you know, don't reveal your heart at all, especially not in the workplace. And so when you start to bring people into Christian community and they start to see that we encourage each other and we actually care, like that I actually care what happens to Nathan and Devin and the Donatters and all you guys, that I actually care what happens in your life, and I might even tell you some things that I think will help you get there, you just don't see this in the world. Not very often. So bringing people into gospel community is an incredible step that we want to talk about today. Now, I want to mess with you a little bit. You know, take this. I'm about to show you a clip. Take it or leave it, okay? Here we go.
No. Huh? Well, over to the left.
Okay. Need a photographer? Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
So where'd you guys go off to all dressed up this morning?
Oh, church. Easter services.
How nice. What did your pastor preach about this morning at this church service?
I'm sorry?
You know, what was the sermon about?
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You know, how he conquered death, right? You know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and he gave us, you know, life?
Uh-huh.
Abundantly?
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting. Hey, you didn't think my wife and I need to hear about that this morning? That wasn't on your radar? No? Say cheese!
Okay, so that video is cheeky and it's fun, and it's not meant to, like, guilt you into doing something, although I think it kind of does that a little bit. But what I want you to see out of that video, what I want you to understand from that, is the gospel message, the Easter story, is the most important news in human history, and it would be really probably smart if people around you knew that information, you know? And so Easter is this thing that's coming up next Sunday, and it's like, it's one of those Sundays that people are actually willing to check out church. A high, high percentage of people will say, well, church is kind of weird, or I didn't like church then, but it is Easter. I probably should go to church. And so tons of your neighbors and friends are willing to go to church at this time because, well, it is Easter. It's kind of like Christmas. It's kind of like, sometimes Mother's Day is kind of like, well, I better go, my mom, you know. So this is a great opportunity for you to introduce people to the gospel community. Maybe it's your neighbors. This is a good time to say, hey man, it's Easter. And yes, guess what we're going to talk about here? Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he, well, you know, he conquered death. You know, we're going to do that. That's what we're going to do next week. We're going to talk about how Jesus conquered death, because next Sunday he is the celebration of him rising from the grave. So I want to encourage you all, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that didn't invite a friend or a neighbor at such a great time of year, because people are willing. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Why did you start attending this body? Anybody feel free to What made you check us out? Anybody? Your wife, right? A personal invitation. Your son, a personal invitation. Your father told you first, personal invitation. There's only maybe a few exceptions to everybody in our church, and one of those would be the Robinettes back there who were searching for a church, which is not necessarily the norm. Most people aren't necessarily searching for a church, although there are some. But the highest probability of people are desperate and want a place to feel community, but they're not going to check anywhere out until they receive invitation. And so that's almost all of you in here. It was an invitation that brought you here, and I'm glad you stuck around and you love it and you're enjoying being in part of our body. But it would have never, ever happened had someone not said, "Hey, come check this out." And there's a much higher probability that people will go to a place, not just church, but any place, they'll go with somebody. Most people are a little bit terrified to just check something out by themselves, with the exception of maybe a few people who, if you've met the Robinettes, are very, very unusual people anyway. And so, love you guys. But there's people like that, but the majority of people really need an invitation. This is a great time for you to offer that. So today we're going to be in the book of Acts. So if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to try to give you a fresh look at something we've looked at quite a bit in our small groups, but I'm going to try to give you a fresh take. Luke recorded for us in the book of Acts how the early church was just saturated with this idea of community, this love, this gospel of Christ, and that God just continued to add people to their number. And that was God's work. We too can be gospel saturated, have this kind of community just like they did. So I want you to see these three gospel-centered chords, these chords we've been talking about. I want you to see how these weave into the book of Acts. This is kind of a summarization sermon, and so I want you to see how these things weave together, at least in the ancient church, and how that impacts us today. So let's read together Acts chapter 2, just verses 44 through 47. Here we go. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the Lord did the work. The people simply celebrated what the Lord had done." What a great message. Here's what I want you to see first: how to be an inviting gospel community. Build relationships with the grace of Christ. Build relationships with the grace of Christ. Here's a few things I see here in the verse. It says a couple of times they were together. They were together. They had all things in common. This word common here is koinos. It's where we get the word koinonia. You may have heard that in any kind of church circles, but it's this idea of having things in fellowship, of really sharing, of having togetherness. It just says over and over again, this is what the church did. They fellowshipped. They actually wanted to be together. Now, I hope that we're creating that kind of culture here. I don't know. Look around the room. Don't make faces, but I'm hoping these are the kind of people you don't mind spending time with. You know, for the most part, there's some people not with us today, but just think about some of the people in our body. Hopefully these are people you have community with, that you're willing to share life with. This is what the church is all about. Strengthen numbers. Strengthen community. It's powerful. A one man's message is powerful. But when people really see this thing playing out amongst all of us, that's when it really has a huge impact. That was why the church in this day had such a huge impact, is because people just started connecting in a way that no one had ever seen. And you know, this is still what happens today. This is just not, it's not cultural, it's not normal to just have this kind of community and this kind of connection of love for one another. It can still have the kind of impact that it had then, today, always. It says they also found favor with all people. That word favor is interesting here. It's the same word used throughout the scriptures to describe grace. It's the word charis. It means goodwill or unmerited favor. That the church grew like Christ grew. Look at this in verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all people. Now here's a scripture verse for you, just for your own personal edification, but I've often tried to reflect on this. It says in Luke 2:52, it says Jesus grew in four ways. It says he grew in strength, wisdom, favor with God, and favor with men. And so these are things that I try often to do. Here's the verse, or wisdom and stature. Yep. Wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So stature is kind of that strength, that physical. And so I've tried to model my own personal life like this, that, okay, it was important to Christ, it was important to the Savior to grow in wisdom. What would that look like? Okay, studying, you know, the kind of person who's aware of philosophies, and he spent time trying to grow in knowledge and wisdom, and in his stature. So he took care of his physical body. He didn't just, I mean, it is talking in a sense about his growth as a young man to a grown man. But I think it's more than that, that he took care of God's temple and that he in favor with God and with men. We see this now again happening in the church, that now we're praising God, having favor with God and having favor with men. That the church, of course, is modeling itself after Jesus. That it's important to them to say, all right, we love Christ. We're all about that, and we're doing our very best to have grace and unmerited favor with all people. Let's model ourselves after Christ. Here's what I want you to see Paul saying in 1 Thessalonians. This is a beautiful verse. He says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too. This is a step that believers have to take if they're really going to make an impact for the gospel. We've done a great injustice by training people how to share their faith, share their testimony, and basically giving them the idea that that's all it requires to share the gospel. The problem is, we've seen countless times that Christ himself shared more than just the gospel message. He shared himself. He died on the cross for us. He shared all of himself. We see Paul reflecting on this too, saying, you know what? The gospel is all about love. It's all about hope. And if I'm truly going to show you that, it takes more than just my message. It takes me giving my life to this. So people, I've said this, I think, the past 2 weeks, people want to know that you care before they want to know what you know. Show them first that you love them, that you care for them, and then the message will be received. But you know, here's the issue. As Americans, and I think this is probably other cultures too, we live in a really fragmented society. This is an era we live in now where we could be the most connected people in human history. We can drive across country. We can fly there. We can ride a train. I was reflecting yesterday. I went to a wedding in Boone. It was a four-hour trip. And so I drove 8 hours yesterday, but I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling pretty good. My brother did most of the driving, so I was kind of just jamming to some tunes and trying to keep him awake. So it was not so bad. But I was reflecting on, you know, let's go back 100 years. I wouldn't have gone to that wedding. That would have been like a day's journey or something. Like 100, 150 years ago, we're hopping on carriages and horses or something. I'd be like, love you, bro. I'm not coming to that wedding. You decided to move a long ways away. So we live in a society where we can still connect, man. I can Facebook a friend I have over in Korea. I can Skype him. I can look at him in the face and talk to him. I can do this crazy thing called iMessage and all these crazy Twitters and Instagram. I can Snapchat you, man, and you can only see my image for like 12 seconds, and then it just vanishes so that I can send you weird things. I know what y'all are doing. Snapchat. We're the most connected people on the earth ever before. And guess what we are? The most disconnected people that ever lived. A fragmented society, because that's not community. That's not real community. You can come on there and just act like a, what they call it, you can go on there and troll. You can say things that you would never say. You can be some kind of weird, crazy person online and be somebody totally else. It's not real community because it's not authentic people. You're not being you. Here's what Peter Block says, author of a book called Community, The Structure of Belonging. He says, "The absence of belonging is so widespread that we might say we are living in an age of isolation. Ironically, we talk today of how small our world has become with the shrinking effect of globalization, instant sharing of information, quick technology, yet these do not necessarily create a sense of belonging. They provide connection, diverse information, an infinite range of opinions." We know that's true. "But this does not create the connection from which we can become grounded and experience the safety that arises from a place where we are emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically a member." People are not experiencing community. People have a void in their lives for community. People spend an outrageous amount of time on Facebook, and I don't think it's because they have necessarily a sin problem or something. I think it's because they are desperate for belonging. They're desperate to be a part of something, and Facebook just seems like it, and then it misses it. And really, everything that's out there that we attempt is close, but it's missing it, because God has designed us for Himself and to be in community with Him and with fellow believers. So everything else we do is close, but it's not there. People are desperate for gospel community. So here's some helps for you. I think there's some space kind of in your bulletin for you to write some things that this might be interesting to you. Most people aren't experiencing community. Why? Because people are not very intentional at building long-term relationships. This is part of the problem. They're not really intentional. And here's some research I wanted to share with you. You might be interested in writing these things down. This particular author wrote in an article called The Psychology of Communities. He discusses what it takes for people to have a sense of community. And so here's number one, membership. Membership. How do people become members? They want to know this. They want to know what it looks like to be a part of something. They want to know that there's boundaries and that there's trust and that there's safety. This enhances a sense of community. So that's one thing that typically churches do pretty well, is they have some sort of a membership order to things that you know you're a part of this. You know, and I think for us, it's even more than that, that you're a part of us on a Sunday morning, but you have opportunities to meet with each other in homes throughout the week. You get this sense of membership. Here's number two. You have influence. I think this might be the most important thing, all right? You have influence. That people acknowledge the information that you're sharing, okay? So this influence isn't something like you personally have influence, but rather that you give influence to others. So if you want to build community, you're looking at some of your friends and neighbors and your family and or whoever you've got in your mind, and you're wondering, how do I introduce them to Christian community? Let them know that what they say and what they do matters, that they actually have influence. Here's an interesting thought. People who acknowledge that others' needs, values, and opinions matter to them are often the most influential people in the group. So the ones that acknowledge others' stuff, they're the ones that are influential. While those who always push to influence, to dominate, and to ignore the wishes of others, those are the least influential people in the group. People, they want to know that you care about their opinion, their influence. So give something there. You're introducing them in community. You want to show them this good news of Jesus. Give them influence. Number three is integration. Members need to feel rewarded. Let them know that something is coming out of this. As you integrate, let them know that, hey, we're actually doing something here. This is why you'll find us celebrating new. This is why, like, when we have a membership class, I bring people up, and it's very real uncomfortable for them, anybody who's done it. It's kind of weird. But I want to celebrate, hey, we have people. These people belong. We want to celebrate the things we're doing. If we do something in the community, we want to celebrate that integration. And the last thing is a shared emotional connection. So what kind of experiences can you manufacture for the members? What kind of events? Something unique that they won't forget. Think about stuff like in your old days in sports or whatever. There's certain things that happen that you'll never forget. These events that took place, maybe in a team or maybe in a previous place you work, maybe even where you work now. There's stuff that has made you connected because it was a unique event. So here's the question there. Are you intentionally building grace-filled relationships? Are you intentional about this? Are you in a community group? Are you trying to bring people into that? Man, we've got room. We got room to grow. We got room to grow in this room. There's plenty of opportunities. All right, I want to move on to number two. Share your gospel story by the power of Christ. How to be an inviting gospel community, share your gospel story by the power of Christ. Look what's happening here in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. It says, day by day they were attending the temple together. Now let me ask you something. What is getting worshipped in the temple at Jerusalem? God. What is not getting worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem at this day? Jesus, not getting worship there, okay? This Christianity is seen overall from the Jewish culture as a wild cult, something that most of them want to persecute and eradicate. And so here are the Christians in Jerusalem, the Christians here in the Acts church, going to the temple to continue to worship there. Often, day by day, it says, attending the temple together. Why? Well, yeah, they're worshiping the same God. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. That's true. You can still find worship there. But we don't go to synagogues, do we? I've been to one or two in my life, just kind of really to catch the experience and kind of have an awareness of it. But we don't still go to temples and synagogues. I would argue this was a witnessing strategy. This was an evangelistic moment for them to go, well, this is something we've done our whole lives, is go to the temple. Let's keep doing that, but now we have new priorities. We have a new intent for going. We're going to go to the temple now and seek out every opportunity to praise God, to talk about this Jesus, to find favor with people, and then to see how the Lord just starts adding to our number. They're seeking out opportunities to share the gospel story. Do you ever find yourself thinking this way? Do you find yourself thinking this way ever? I'm going to go to a place that I always go. Day by day, going to the temple. This is something they were familiar with. They'd been doing. Jesus says in the Great Commission, as you go, make disciples. So where are you going already? To work? To eat? As you go. What is your day by day attending the temple together? What is that for you? Be intentional with it. Be intentional about praising God, finding favor with people, sharing your gospel story. And then it says what the Lord does with that. He adds to their number. He's the source. God is the power. Christ is the power. Let's not miss that. All we have to do is be obedient. This is what's so cool about the system. It's so rigged. Christ has rigged the system. All we got to do is be obedient, praise Him, find favor, share the gospel, build relationships. He will do the work. We can't change people's lives. We can't change people's hearts and souls. We have no power to do that. Good grief. If you've talked to anybody for any amount of time, you can barely change somebody's opinion about anything. You can have great information. Some of the hardest people you ever find that with are your family. You can't convince them of nothing. Especially somebody you're married to. Good luck convincing them of something after a certain amount of years. Because they've seen you do stupid stuff. So your ability there can be hindered. People often aren't changed by information, but I tell you what they are changed by: Christ. Christ has the power. So don't worry about this. The system's set up. God wins. Christ wins. He's already conquered death. Done it. Done. 2,000 years ago, that's what Easter's about. Christ conquered death. Done. And now all we have to do is live for Him. Talk about Him when we can, as often as we can, in our day by day. And Christ will do the work. This is fantastic. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous how easy this is, how Christ has made this so simple for us. This is why Christ says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Look, this yoke is easy. He's asked a few things of you to just try to live holy and live pure for Him. These are important things, but look, it's an easy yoke. He's rigged the system. This is great. Acts 1:8, it tells us just how much further this has gone. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Man, we're doing the ends of the earth stuff now. Man, we ain't in Jerusalem. We're over here in North Carolina. These are the ends of the earth. Don't feel like the ends of the earth, although Rocky Mount feels like the end of something sometimes. Man, we are doing this. We are His witnesses, and we don't have to worry about the power. He got the power. So what do we do? I'm going to give you a little story. And you know, it's not like I have some kind of great evangelistic gift, and I've seen people that do. I mean, there are people out there that they're just good with people, man. And you've probably met some of these people that just, I don't know how they do it. I got a few people in my mind right now that can just walk into a room of people they've never met in their life and make Insta friends. I mean, I make friends pretty easy, but it takes time for me. But there's just some people out there that have some kind of gift. But look, here's what I do. I just try to be nice to people, even when they look like they are death warmed over, and a lot of people do. Just be nice to people. I want to give you a story, and it's not like something amazing happened in this story. This will give you an idea of what it looks like to live in gospel community and to try to bring people into that. Try to constantly be bringing people into this atmosphere called Christian community, where lives can change, where Christ can do crazy stuff in your life that you've never experienced. And so here's what me and my wife are doing. This is just a few weeks ago. We went on like a little mini date. Any of you who have several kids, dates get real confusing. We kind of went on a little mini date though. Got away from the kids. I don't even remember how we did it because it's so hard. But this was before she gave birth to Mackenzie. So this was a month to a month and a half ago. And we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, okay? Buffalo Wild Wings is a pretty good place to eat. It's not so good for me sometimes because there's a lot of things getting shown in there. And I'm like a squirrel, you know? Or a dog looking at a squirrel. So I had, you know, I know going into that, I don't want to frustrate my wife, so I've got to focus, okay? Because we're on a mini date, so I've got to focus. But then our waitress kept noticing my wife's big belly. She was pregnant, and she's so tiny that her belly looks humongous. Y'all saw it. So the waitress wanted to talk about that. And then she just started telling us. I mean, I really don't remember asking her anything. She just started telling us about how difficult it has been for her to be a single parent. She's working at this restaurant. I think she was in school trying to raise this kid. I think Grandma was trying to help, but she just starts telling us the woes of life. She was a sweet girl, doing a pretty good job as a waitress. It didn't take me long, people, to tell her who I was, and I'm not talking about a pastor. It didn't take me long to go, "Well, you know, God works all things for the good of those who love and trust Him." I just started thinking about, okay, what might this person need to hear? I've been in some tough scenarios. I haven't been in that one, but I've been in places where I really barely was making ends meet. I was having to even sometimes borrow money from family or even move in with family. I've been in some tough times. I know this. And you know, God can do miracles. God can do great things. He can bless you in ways you don't understand. And I'm not talking about wealth or that he's somehow going to solve all the financial stuff. But he can give you peace and joy and hope. And maybe he'll solve those other things too. It's up to him. I just started thinking these things and I just started talking to her about it. And before long, I'm inviting her to community. Now, she hasn't been here. That would have been a cool story had she showed up. But now when I go to BW's, when I go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm looking for her. Because I want to keep this conversation going. Hey, how's your kid doing? How's life going? How's school going? Build relationships. Share your gospel story. I didn't get to the sharing of that message yet, but I got to share some other stuff. Some good news from Scripture. Some good news about what Christ does. It's simple, people. I'm telling you, it's so simple. You just go out into the community and just do things. Just do normal things and see how people just come up to you and just start talking to you about how, you know what, my life's kind of hard right now. It's crazy. I don't walk around with some big cross on my head going, please talk to me. I'm a pastor. No. People are ready. There's a void. They want community. It's a real thing. Just go outside with your eyes wide open. And be ready to give something. Give some grace. It doesn't have to be, you know, here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was raised from the grave. Hopefully you'll get to that. But just give them grace until you get there. I found that something can really help. It's this crazy thing called prayer. It's this thing called prayer where you start saying, all right, God, I'm going to ask for something weird today. I'm going to ask for you to bring some people in my life that just want to talk. And see if that doesn't work. Some of you aren't ready to pray that prayer because you most certainly don't want to talk to people about this yet because you think you got to be some kind of super apostle to talk about this. You got to be some kind of pastor guy to talk about Jesus. Nah, man. Start praying for God. Hey, give me opportunities to just talk about where I've been. What has Christ done in you? Share your gospel story. That's why I phrased it that way. Share your gospel story. What has God done in your life? You should be the master on what God has done in your life. You know better than anybody. You know how you felt when that happened. No one else does. Share your gospel story. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Invite others to community through the love of Christ. Invite others to community through the love of Christ. Here's what that community looked like in that day, and I think it still kind of does today. 46 and 47 chapter 2 of Acts say, breaking bread in their homes, receiving the food with glad and generous hearts. Man, cool. All right, praising God, having favor with all people. The Lord starts adding to their number. This is community. People eating together, people having food together, people being glad together, people being generous together. If you look through all these chapters in Acts, these people had this wild living of giving to one another as each had need, taking care of each other. I think this all stems out of a verse that I want you all to consider this week. I want you to think about this verse this week because this is what Christ did at Easter for us. Look at John chapter 13. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what Easter is about, that Christ, that God loved us enough to die in our place. You are also to love one another. By this, guess what? People are going to know that you're my disciples if you love one another. What a restful system he has given us. Love each other. I loved you. This is what it looks like. It looks like sacrifice. So love one another. I want to give you just a little bit of data to help you think this thing through, okay? You saw that video at the start of, you know, you didn't think I should know about this information, this big, really big deal? Well, there's some truth to this. There's some real truth to just a simple invite. Some research was done on about 15,000 adults. This was by Lifeway Research, and they, They surveyed 15,000 adults to determine, they were trying to figure out which approach would be best received when a church wanted to be heard, okay? So they were looking, okay, for instance, for a church like us, pretty new to the scene here in Rocky Mount, what we want is for people to be aware we're here. What we want is for people to come check us out. Give us a shot. And so what this research was trying to determine, okay, what would be the best method? Should we send out a mailer? Yeah, we did try that. Should we do this? Some of these things work, but what is the best method? Well, I think you guys are going to know. The best received message was a personal invitation. A personal invitation. That's why most of you are in the room. Do you know 60 is just based on 15,000 adults, but 67% of people are willing to check out church with a personal invitation. That is a very high probability. The probability on a mailer, because I looked into this, because we did a mailer, it's supposed to be 1%. 1%. We didn't even get that. Although we did put the wrong times on there, which was crazy cool. So we might have had 1%, and those people showed up at night, and they'll never check us out again because they're wondering why in the world we have church at 10:30 at night. But 1% versus 67%. Look, what does that tell me? Just invite some people. Now, I've put some tools in your hands, okay? And I'm not trying to gimmick you or something here. You do as you please. Do as God commands. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. You do that in the way that you see God calling you to do that. But I wanted to give you some tools that might help you, okay? Because for some, it's hard to get into that conversation. Maybe you never want to. Maybe you just want to say, hey, look, I'm going to this church on Easter. I'd love for you to join me. I don't think anybody anywhere would be mad about that. They might say, well, I'm an atheist. Or they might say, whatever. But they're not really mad at you. You're just saying, hey, I've gotten a lot out of this. So I put these in your bulletin, okay? You've got an invite card that you might just want to, you know, make into a paper airplane and fling at somebody. Whatever you want to do. But I've got some door hangers there for you too. Maybe for you, take that one door hanger and walk 15 feet to your neighbor's door and put it on the doorknob. And this is it. Just try that. Something crazy might happen. They might see you. They might see you do it. So be ready. It could happen. But just take that. And I've got more out in the lobby you might have seen on the way in. Those things look really good. I'm happy with the way they look. I feel good about that. People are going to look at it and go, hey, man, cool, Easter, yeah. People come to church on Easter. And so if you want some more, maybe you're one of these gutsy people. And you want to put one on each side of your house. I'm going to put one there and there. Whatever you want to do. I've got plenty out there for you. I've got plenty more. Me and Devin, and I'm probably going to try to rope a few of you, else of you in it. We're gonna pass out like several hundred tomorrow. You don't know this. I hope you brought your good shoes. Those will work, though. It's just going to hurt your toesies. We're going to pass out these things, and I don't know what the Lord will do. It doesn't really matter to me at this point. Like, what the power is His. He adds to the number. There's really not much I can do other than just be obedient. Just try to be a person who's following Him, who loves Him, who shares about Him. And this is what Christ has called us to do. So you've got some tools. Try to use them if you can. Share some stories about cool stuff you've done. I'd love to hear, hey, I tried my best, Jonathan, to go to my neighbors, and I went with my ninja mask on and tried to get on the doorknob, and I couldn't get it. They saw me. That'll be a cool story. Looking forward to it. I want to share with you a quote. This is a quote that I think Pastor Gary actually came up with. So I don't know if he needs royalties on this. But this is a really good quote, y'all. If we will be the church, Christ will build the church. If we will just be the church, Christ will build the church. So I hope that you walk away from this particular message with hope and with joy, knowing that Christ has called you out. He didn't call everybody out so far. He's working on people's lives. But you, He's pulled out and He said, I love you. I died for you. Now live for me. Be the church that tries its best to bring people in and love on each other and on them so that they can see Christ's love in us. That's the point. Be the church. Christ will build the church. He never told us to build the church. He's never said this. He says, be the church. When we allow the gospel to just saturate our lives and our church, marked by grace, power, love, Christ says, I will build my church. So these three things, make this a lifestyle. This is what it means to be gospel-centered, that you build relationships by His grace, you share the gospel by His power, and you invite others to community by His love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. It's cool. It's a little wet. But every day is a great day to get to serve you, Lord. What an amazing adventure you're taking each and every one of us on. I'm so thankful, Lord, to have purpose in life. I'm so thankful that what you did, what we're celebrating this time of year, this Palm Sunday, your triumphal entry, we're celebrating what you did on Good Friday. What we're looking forward to celebrating in just a few days, what you accomplished for your glory and for our good. You conquered death for us, God. You conquered sin. You conquered death. You did all of that in just a few days. That's how great a God we serve. Lord, thank you for that. Help us to have a mind and a heart just so stuck on that this week, thinking about that at every waking moment, waking as we put our feet on the ground to start our day, we're thinking, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've accomplished. Thank you for what you've just so freely given to me, Father. Help me to be that love and that hope and that grace and that mercy to other people. Let that just shine through me. Help me to just be the person in the church that you've called us to be. Help me to live like that. Help me to be intentional in my relationships that, yes, I am trying to have fun. Yes, I am trying to have a partnership and companionship with people. I need friends, but my friendship, there's more behind it than just this. No, if I truly care for this person, I want to see their eternity intact. Father, help us all to be intentional with our relationships. Help us to be open and ready for those gospel moments you're going to give each and every one of us. It just happens all the time. People are searching and hungry for you, Christ, and they want what you have, and they just need somebody to tell them. Christ, you told us that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Help us to be those kind of workers, diligently praying, diligently sharing what you've done. Help us to invite others into this great community. Lord, I'm praying, I want to pray a bold, bold prayer, Lord, that each and every one of us in this room and those of our body that couldn't make it this morning, that you will drive them this week to invite some people to our Easter service. Not because I want to see a bunch of people in here, and I will admit, I'd love to see that. I'd love to preach to a full room, but that's not the key. That doesn't really matter. What I want to see people here for is because Christ is the best. You're the best news of all time. People need to know. People need to know that you died for them and that you love them and that their life is forever changed. So help us this week, Father. Help us this week to bring people into this community. Help open hearts and minds and souls all across Nash County and Edgecombe County and Wilson County. Open up hearts and minds that they will be willing to come on an Easter Sunday to a place, maybe even a school. They'll give it a shot so that we can preach the gospel well. And that they'll know, maybe for the first time, what Christ has done. Lord, help us. Lord, we love you. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you more. Help us to be the church you've called us to be. And Lord, we're praying, build the church. Build the church. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.